Ed intisimgħu Radio Lauretana fuq il-frekwenza 89.3 FM. Radio Lauretana, ir-radju tal-Komunità Parrokkjali tal-Madonna tal-Loreto, ansilem.
Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus Christ, is perhaps one of the most overlooked characters in the life of the Savior. Yet there is no question that Joseph left a powerful impact on Jesus, Mary, and their other children. He was a man of solid conviction. His love for Mary, the mother of Jesus, is unmatched. Because Joseph's story is only covered in 4 chapters of the Bible, and he most likely died before the ministry of the Savior, we often gloss over him and sadly miss the powerful witness he left of his adopted son, the Messiah of the world. We know relatively few details about Joseph from the scriptures, but through insights from the historical background of life in Israel, we can actually weave together a beautiful tapestry on the life of Joseph. Joseph was of the tribe of Judah, and in particular a direct descendant of King David. This would mean that he, at least in some regards, had a legal right to the throne. Consequently, any of his descendants, including Jesus through adoption, would also have this same status. Despite his royal lineage, the scriptures tell us that Joseph was only a poor carpenter or craftsman. Joseph is typically portrayed in art as working with wood, but because Israel has a limited number of trees, and stone is by far the more abundant resource, Joseph would have actually been a carpenter of mostly stone. According to Jewish custom, we also know that Joseph was most likely quite young. In fact, he probably was only between 17 to 20 years old when he was engaged to Mary. We also know that from a very young age, Joseph had been trained in the law at the synagogue, and that he had a profound understanding of the scriptures because of his faithful, yet merciful way of obeying the law. To better comprehend the significance of the story of Joseph and Mary, it will help to understand the marriage customs during the time of the New Testament. Ancient Jewish marriage included 3 main parts: the betrothal, the period of preparation, and the actual wedding feast. A young bride, typically between 11 and 13 years old, would be formally betrothed to a groom aged about 17 to 20. While comparable to an engagement today, it was a far more significant commitment. The bride and groom were actually legally married at the betrothal, as wedding vows would be exchanged. The distinction being that the marriage is not yet consummated, nor do the couple live together. A period of waiting and preparation would follow when the groom learned a trade, in Joseph's case, stonemasonry and carpentry, and built a small home for his future bride. The two families would also prepare for the wedding feast. Unlike today, with the convenience of modern-day stores, everything for the wedding would be made by hand, grown, or traded in the market, including harvesting all the food, making white robes for each participant, and other significant preparations. This enormous amount of preparation meant that it was very common to wait a full year before the actual wedding feast. Once ready, the groom would go to the home of his bride with a large procession of his family and friends, with torches and oil lamps. He then would take his new bride to his father's home, where the marriage feast would occur and the marriage would be consummated. The wedding feast was huge, often lasting for 7 days. All the more reason for a year-long preparation. With this understanding of marriage customs, let's read the Gospel of Matthew. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. According to the law of Moses, if a young man found that his bride was pregnant before their marriage, he had 2 options. First, he could publicly divorce her, meaning he would bring formal charges against her before a court. If found guilty, she would be stoned to death. Second, the young groom could divorce her privately, or in other words, he would not bring formal charges against her, but simply end the marriage. In this situation, both the life of the mother and the child would be preserved. Both options were legal under the law. Matthew tells us that Joseph chose to be merciful, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. However, before Joseph was able to divorce Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, telling him to take Mary as his wife. The angel also directs Joseph that he is to name the infant Jesus. By naming the child, according to Jewish tradition, Joseph would formally adopt Jesus as his own. We often just gloss over these few verses, but the implications are massive for Joseph. Consider this story from the perspective of the townspeople, who all would know that Mary got pregnant before marriage. By taking her as his wife, Joseph is saying that either he broke his own vows and got Mary pregnant before the wedding feast, or he does not mind being the father to what the people would consider an illegitimate child. Either option would forever brand Joseph as a father of questionable background. Yet the text seems to imply that Joseph shrugged off these massive consequences, and the instant he awakes from his sleep, does exactly as the angel commands. The love and compassion Joseph showed to Mary and the unborn Messiah is absolutely remarkable. He disregarded all cultural consequences of marrying Mary, forgoes the elaborate wedding feast that every young couple would be looking forward to, and took in the young, innocent Savior of the world as his own. Truly, God could not have chosen a better man to raise his own son than Joseph, the humble carpenter. Though we have no recorded words of Joseph, no recorded witness of his testimony, his actions of obedience, mercy, kindness, and love speak volumes about the character of this most remarkable man and his testimony of the Savior. As followers of Christ, we can learn much from Joseph the carpenter.
Did you know? Saint Joseph was a carpenter and the foster father of Jesus. Not much is known of Joseph's life, except that he was of the house of David and lived in Nazareth, Israel, where today the Church of Saint Joseph's Carpentry marks the traditional location of his workshop. Ever wonder why statues and paintings of Joseph depict his staff topped with flowers? The flowered staff is a reminder of how Mary's spouse was chosen. According to legend, when the time came for Mary to be betrothed, the temple priest gathered the walking sticks of all prospective suitors. Miraculously, Joseph's burst into flower. This was a sign that God had chosen Joseph as the earthly spouse and guardian of Our Lady. It is not known when Joseph died, but we do know that he was still living when Jesus was 12 years old. For the first 1400 years of the church, there was virtually no devotion to Saint Joseph. Due to early heresies that denied that Christ was divine, the church fathers found it prudent to downplay the husband of Mary and foster father of Jesus. Around 1400, there was a sudden surge in devotion to Saint Joseph, culminating in 1479 when Pope Sixtus IV finally gave Joseph a feast day, March 19th. This increase in attention led to the 1650 founding of the Sisters of Saint Joseph, who today number more than 14,000 worldwide, and the elaborate Saint Joseph's Day altars, constructed annually around the world and adorned with candles, flowers, statues, and food, all dedicated to this holy carpenter on his feast day. Joseph's profession is undoubtedly why he was chosen to be the patron saint of workers, but his popularity went further. He was declared the patron saint of several countries, including Canada, China, and Mexico. And in 1870, Pope Pius IX gave St. Joseph his highest honor, declaring him universal protector of the Catholic Church. And that's how a simple carpenter became the saint we know today.
Joseph is one of my favorite characters of the Nativity story. I think it's because he not only shows an incredible amount of obedience to the Lord, but more importantly, he shows a great level of kindness and forgiveness to those around him. Joseph was a carpenter or craftsman, most likely of stone, not of wood as is often depicted in artwork. According to Matthew 2, Joseph actually lived in Bethlehem, not in Nazareth, as the Lucan account records. According to Jewish custom, we also know that Joseph was most likely quite young. In fact, he was probably only about 17 to 20 years old when he was engaged to Mary. We also know that Joseph knew the scriptures and the law. And more importantly, he not only knew them and knew how to obey them, but he knew how to use the law to bless the lives of those around him. To better understand the story of Joseph, it will help to have a historical setting for the marriage process during the time of Christ. There were three parts of the Jewish marriage. First, there was the betrothal, then there was a waiting period, and then there was the actual wedding feast. During the betrothal, the groom and the bride would actually exchange wedding vows, very similar to what we would have in a modern-day wedding. During this time, they were literally considered man and wife. During the next phase, the waiting period, the groom would prepare a home, and the family would prepare for the enormous wedding feast that would occur. The third phase was the actual wedding feast. On this night, the groom would go to the bride's home, followed by a huge procession of lights and torches and lamps. There he would take his bride back to his home or to his parents' home, and the feast would begin. The feast would be huge, which would help you understand why they needed a year to prepare for this, and would often last up to 7 days long. At the end of the night, the bride and the groom would consummate their marriage. However, up to this point, they still were considered husband and wife. So if the wife at any point during the betrothal process was found to be pregnant, according to the law, the husband had to divorce her. Now, naturally, there are two ways for a woman to become pregnant. First, she would break her vows that she had made by committing adultery. And second, she would be raped, which would mean she would still be innocent. If the husband found out that his bride was pregnant, he had two options. He first could bring her to court, where there would be witnesses and a judge who would try to determine whether she was guilty or not of committing adultery. And second, the groom could divorce his bride privately. Now, this does not mean that it would be private in the fact that nobody would know about it. Everybody would still know about it. Nazareth was a very small city, and everybody would know about what was going on. Now, by divorcing her privately, Joseph not only saved Mary from humiliation by having to be brought before a court, but also preserved her life. And because of the fact that accusations were never brought against her, nobody could actually accuse her of being guilty of committing adultery. As we study the life of Joseph, we learn several valuable things about who he was and about his character. First, we learn that Joseph really loved Mary. Even though it was an arranged marriage, the fact that he decided to divorce her privately shows that he cared more about Mary than being vindicated for something that had been done wrong to him. Second, everybody knew the story of Joseph and Mary. Everybody knew what had happened, or at least what they had accused them of what had happened. And Joseph, by taking Mary as his wife, shows great character, that he was willing to do whatever it took and to deal with whatever would come in the future because he knew what the Lord had commanded and he loved Mary. Third, it shows how much he cared for Jesus Christ. The fact that he actually names Jesus, as the Matthew account records, shows that he not only was willing to take Mary in, but he was actually taking Jesus in as his own adopted son. By naming Jesus, Joseph literally is adopting him legally into his own line, which is the reason that Jesus Christ can be called the Son of David, just as Joseph was the Son of David. We learn that Joseph immediately acted. In the scriptures it reads, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." In other words, Joseph was quick to act and did exactly as the angel told him the very next day. From this, it would seem that there was no wedding feast that actually occurred. Dashing all of the hopes and dreams that Mary and Joseph would have had, the huge feast, the lights, the torches, the music, all would have been canceled and foregone because of the fact that Jesus would be born to Mary. And yet, this does not discourage Joseph to the least degree. He knows what is right, and he acts. It is often said that Mary was chosen by the Lord because of her faithfulness and her devotion to the Lord, which is absolutely true. And I would say it is just as true that the Lord chose Joseph to be the adopted father of the Savior because he knew who he was.
Hello, this is Sarah Brockwell, the Director of Faith Formation, and today is our first meditation in a four-part series on Saint Joseph, the father of Jesus on earth. And so we start out this beautiful meditation with this image of a father and a son out, and we see that they are into carpentry. And one of the things that I love about this image is just Joseph looking on and allowing Jesus to kind of take over the work himself. There are other things that I see in this image. I see the look of the father, or a father, a kind and humble father. So this is usually a difficult topic sometimes. So if meditation is here today for you to relax, and talking about fathers and images of fathers brings up poor feelings, there's always the opportunity here to really sink into the core values of what Joseph the father and Joseph the carpenter really brought into Jesus's life. So I enjoy when I struggle with some of our humanity and experiences with these words and relationships and feelings. It's also very important to remember that Joseph, as a man and as a person, really went against culture and for the time did something absolutely phenomenal. And he took the family system and he turned it up on its end and took in Mary and took in Joseph and raised him as his own. And we have years where we don't hear or know what happened to Joseph. We have very limited knowledge in scripture. So meditation is a wonderful way to explore the person of Joseph, because often it was in that silence, in the words we didn't hear, that Joseph can speak greatly to us. And so as we start this meditation, I want you to take a big, deep breath in through your nose and out. Another deep breath in and out. And if it feels good to close your eyes and continue this breath, or if in your meditation you lose focus, which is common, return to the image and then come back into your own mind. See the world around you. You are a carpenter. You have been a carpenter your whole life, and as far back as you can remember and listen to the stories of your family, you have always been carpenters. You travel throughout the land, seeking the best wood. Your hands, look at them. What do a carpenter's hands feel like? What do they look like? What do your nails look like? Your arms are strong. Your skin is dark and brown from the sun and the sand. You have lived your whole life smelling wood. Take a deep inhale. Smell all of the smells of fresh cut wood. And As you look around, you recognize that you are in your room where you work from home, where you craft the wood that you sometimes take with you to build things. Sometimes you build on site. You have all of your tools laid out in front of you. Great pieces of wood and stone. You pick up a piece of wood that you have been working on and treating. This particular piece of wood is going to be used for a toy, a wonderful toy, a toy for a child in the city who is sick. And so you call your son Jesus, who is getting older and wiser, and you bring him into the room, and you put down this piece of wood, and both of you together look at the wood, discuss what it can be made into. You talk about the child in the village who is sick and who will receive this special toy from the carpenters, Joseph and his son Jesus. Finally, you decide. Jesus tells you what the child wants. As a father and a man and a carpenter, you are very practical. You know that Jesus has not spoken to this child. You know Jesus has not been around this child for many, many months. But you know that Jesus always knows what to do. You have entrusted Jesus with the creative nature of your business. You have allowed him the opportunity to take something that is from the earth and turn it into a valuable gift for a child suffering. You watch Jesus work. He says very little, asking for approval, just using body language. You are so connected. As you finish this moment, Jesus looks up to you and asks you for your approval, your words. Jesus needs your approval. He is still young. He still has so much to learn. You look into your heart and you reach up in your mind to God and you say, God, what do you need your son to hear right now? And so out of your mouth, you, the carpenter, what do you say to Jesus in this moment? A smile breaks across Jesus's face, and he looks down at the toy. You put your hands on top of his, and you send him off to give the child the toy. You recognize you have just sent the Savior of the world to the most vulnerable, and he doesn't even know it yet. Protect, O Holy Guardian, this our nation. Joseph enlightened those responsible for the common good so that they might know, like you do, how to care for those entrusted to their responsibility. Grant intelligence of knowledge to those seeking adequate means for the health and physical well-being of their brothers and sisters. Sustain those who are spending themselves for those in need, even at the cost of their own safety. Volunteers, nurses, doctors who are on the front lines in curing the sick. Bless, O Saint Joseph, the church, beginning with her ministers. Make her the sign and instrument of your light and your goodness. Accompany, O Saint Joseph, our families with your prayerful silence. Create harmony between parents and their children in a special way with the youngest. Preserve the elderly from loneliness. Grant that no one might be left in the desperation from abandonment and discouragement. Comfort those who are the most frail. Encourage those who falter. Intercede for the poor. With the Virgin Mother, beg the Lord to liberate the world from every form of pandemic. Amen.